Greetings, greetings, each of you, by the very means of internet radio. You are tuned in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. You're met today by Brother Six himself, Missionary Ken Wolfgang, Sister Ruth Wolfgang, and a host of others, including myself. Well, God bless you. We pray that you have a wonderful time in the program today. Amen and amen.
Sheriff, sheriff, come on, get the sheriff.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Fitness is a big part of my life, and I've learned that it needs to be regular, a discipline we need to do especially on the days when we're not in the mood and don't have a lot of energy. And like physical fitness, our spiritual fitness is something we tend to put off. But regular time alone with God is essential in getting to know Him. I wrote my new book of 365 devotions right from the heart to serve as a spiritual warm-up. It's not a substitute for talking with God through prayer and listening to God through the study of His Word. It's a supplement to get the spiritual juices flowing. I pray that the Lord will bless you through each day's message. May these thoughts give you a hunger to know Him. And most of all, I hope they'll connect you with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Meeting with God is a way to have a meaningful and abundant eternal life. Some common questions people ask about quiet time. Number one. With all the stresses of life, how do I make time daily for a quiet time? Well, there's never time for a daily quiet time. As a pastor, I sure don't have enough time for a quiet time. But I have to ask God for a hunger to know Him and a hunger to spend time with Him. Then it becomes the most important appointment of my day. I keep daily lists, and number one on my daily appointment list is time alone with God. I encourage you to do the same. Number two, by using Right from the Heart, what would a daily quiet time look like? I decided to write these devotions short and easy to understand because people really are pressed for time. So first, ask God to open your mind and heart, read the scripture reference, maybe reread it again, then read the devotion for the day and let it sink in. Don't be tempted to read ahead. Just one a day will give you a fresh food for thought and get your spiritual juices flowing. And then ask God for a special time with Him through prayer and Bible study. I hope in the process that you get to hear from God.
I love you, Jesus. I was
the favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so and so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are Spirit of God.
Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you, Lord, yeah, I love you, Jesus, my word. Adore you, just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Mm-hmm. I lift my hands in total adoration of you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. Thank you. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Yeah. Say, I lift my hand in total adoration. He said, you reign on the throne.
For you are God in God alone. Because you are my cloud, are gone. So grateful. I just want to say that I love you more than
anything. Grab me in your arms. You are my shelter from the storm. You were right there all along. I never known a love like this before.
Just want to tell you, Lord,
Praise God. Who's that moving around? Please mute your mic. I'm picking up.
I love you, Jesus. That's Anita Wilson. Amen. Amen. Once again, you are tuned in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. And on this day, this good afternoon, we want to say hello to all of you in your respectable places. But we want to ask the very founder of the station, Six Eyes himself, to open us up in a word of prayer today, something he probably not used to on a regular basis, but I know that he loves God, and so he can open us up in a word of prayer. Following him, we'll have Sister Ruth Wolfgang to come and offer up a scripture reading for today, and we're going to move forward in our prayer. We want to thank all of you that called in today, those of you from the area code of 440, the area code of 216, and the area code of 901. Amen. And I think I've seen 404. Amen. And so wherever you are, God bless you today. Thank you for tuning in. Whether you're listening to this live or on the recording, we thank you. Pass it on to your family and friends. We pray that the word today will bless you real good. Brother Six, how you doing this afternoon? God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. I am blessed, highly favored. Thank you. Got fresh coffee brewing, so it's going to be a great show. Got Mama Six Eyes with us. So everything's going great thus far.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. If you will be so kind to open us up in a word of prayer to get us going. Amen.
Yes, sir. All right. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for everything you do and continue to do for us. We thank you for making us make the woke list, bringing us to this point right here. We want to be immersed in you. We want to stay thirsty because many of us are spiritually dehydrated. So we need to get hydrated back in the spirit. Spiritual realm and the physical of life. So just want to just keep blessing us and keeping us hydrated in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Sister Ruth, come on, give us a scripture reading.
Okay, I got Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 7. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and shew my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high? Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh?
Amen. Amen. May God bless the reading, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his holy word. That was Isaiah 57, verses 1 through 7.
That's 58, 1 to 7.
58. God bless you, Missionary Ken. Great to hear your voice. Amen. 58, 1 through 7. Amen. That has ties to do with what we'll be talking about on tomorrow night. On the other end, last week we dealt with forgiveness, and tomorrow night we're going to deal with love. Amen. And when she talked about feeding those that are hungry, so we're going to deal with that love part on tomorrow night. Amen. God bless you, Mama Sanford. I heard that you're on the line. It's always a pleasure to have you with us on the program. We thank you because it's because of you. We know it's because of the Lord first, but because of you, we have Brother Six today. Amen. So we want to say thank you that we have this gift. Amen. A treasure amongst us today. So we appreciate you. Amen. You did not abort the promise, the gift, the love that was the world needed today. Amen. So we thank you for raising them right the best you can. Amen. And so we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. And there's so many others I wish I would call names, but if I call this other person's name, I'll get a phone call afterwards. So I'm going to just leave that name. God bless you, too. Amen. Some people don't like their names called. They like working in the background.
Amen. Amen.
So we're going to leave it in the background. Amen. They knew who I was talking about.
You know what, Pastor? I'm curious to know. I'm curious to know. So everybody who's not shy and who's not ashamed of what God has done for them and woke them up to make the wokeness to be on this program, come off mute one time and say, thank you, Lord, and say your name. Amen?
Amen.
If you're not ashamed,
well,
come off mute.
All right. Well, I got the...
Thank
I'll
you, Lord, Missionary Ken
the...
and Ruth.
That's one. Is there another?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, and Sister Emily.
All right, come on. There has to be more. Come on now. Come on.
All
come
right
on now. That's 216. That's 404. Come on. Amen.
You don't hear me? Good afternoon,
hey,
everyone.
Right.
I am here. This is Princess McNeil. Welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Amen. Amen. She's going to be doing a selection for us later in the show. Amen.
Oh, man, you're trying to get us hurt. But anyway.
I got.
Amen, amen. Oh, wow.
Hi, Pastor.
How you doing, Sister Emily? God bless you. Amen, amen. All of God's people, we say thank you for joining. We pray God's favor upon your life. Y'all know me, the favor of God. Amen. I love that announcement. The favor of God. Always remind us that the favor of God gives us to have the advantage over the circumstances. But we don't allow our circumstances to outweigh the favor of God on our lives. And why can we say Or how can we say that we have the favor of God? We know because we are God chosen. We are chosen vessels. We are royal priesthood. Amen. We are the elected of Christ. Amen. We are joined heirs to the kingdom of God because of Christ Jesus. So therefore, we are the favor of God. Amen. Amen. And we can go on and on in that vein. Amen. At this time, we're going to mute the lines again, and we're going to hear CC, and I'll be back with a word of encouragement today, dealing with renewing my expectation on the kingdom of God, renewing my expectation on the kingdom of God. Sometimes we let our excitement die down about the kingdom of heaven, about the kingdom of God. Sometimes we allow our expectations to be lowered because certain things haven't happened as of yet. But today we want to talk about renewing that expectation, amen, on the kingdom of God, amen. So let's listen to Sister Cece as she comes and bless us with a song. I love this particular song. Amen. It's called Never Lost. I want you to enjoy it as we journey together in it today in the name of Jesus.
Miracles when you move, such an easy thing for you to do. Your hand is moving right now. You are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. Your voice is calling me now. And right now, I know you're able. And you never lost the battle, no, you never lost the battle, and I know
If he did it before, he can do it again. Aren't we glad that our God is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore? I thank you, Malachi, for giving us those words to have as a understanding that the same God that spoke into nothing and created all there is, that in existence, all the substance, all that matter, amen, that same God is able to speak into our lives in hopeless situations, in whatever state that we are found in, he's able to speak life into our circumstance. He's able to speak hope into our circumstance. And so I thank Ty Trivia for giving us that, the same God, the same God. And so I'm stick with that. I'm not going to change that title. The emphasis is renewing, and we know what renewing is. It's to revalidate or to validate again, to bring afresh again. It's to do something over. There was an old song back in the day, saying, "Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord. Take me back. Take me back to the place where I first believed." Sometimes it's very important for us to go back to the beginning. It's often funny how on the track and field that the starting line is also can be the finishing line. And so you have to come back to the start in order to finish. And sometimes we find ourselves doing the same thing. In order to win, in order to advance in God, we have to get back to the beginning. Amen. That's why it's so important for us to hold fast to Matthew 6 and 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What things? All the stuff that you need in order to succeed. Amen. Because the plan of God for your life and my life is in his hand. On today, I want you to go with me in your Bibles, and I hope you have your Bibles. Amen. Amen. I pretty much love this start with Joel Osteen after he gives his particular opening icebreaker joke, or his what he does to ease into his sermon. He has everyone to grab the Bible and to make a first positive statement, a declaration, if you would. And if it involves them putting their hands on their Bible and claiming it as the Word of God, not a word, but the Word of God. And by being the Word of God, what it says, I can have, and I can have what it says. And that's the declaration that they make. But we're in a day and time where many of us don't have a physical paper Bible. We're using our electronic devices today, whether it be your cell phone, your tablet, your laptop, or computer. So what I would like for you to do is to open up in your device or your devices the Bible. And we're going to make a similar decree that this is the Word of God. And this Word of God has purpose in my life to succeed. And since it has purpose in my life to succeed, I can win because it says I can win. I can overcome because it says I can overcome. I'm more than a conqueror through his name, Jesus Christ. Now, that's the decree. And so hopefully your hand was on your Bible. Hopefully you had your Bible open up in your tablets or your smartphone or your laptop or your computer. And I want you to begin daily reminding yourself. We opened the program up talking about a devotion. I hope daily. There's programs now. I have an app that I'll download it that reminds me to pray three times a day. And somebody said, "Well, do you really need something to remind you to do this and that?" Have you ever been so busy doing nothing till you forgot to do what you were supposed to do? Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody. In other words, there was something specific you had to do, but you got caught up doing something else till you didn't accomplish what you said you were going to do because you were caught up in doing whatever else. So imagine just being caught up in doing what you wanted to do. or what he was trying to do. Surely, being caught up in things can sometimes distract you from giving God his time. And so giving God his time, sometimes, many times we need that reminder. Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong with a reminder. And, you know, they used to say tie a ribbon around your finger. And so when you see the ribbon on your finger, it reminds you that there's something you must do. And I'm reminded that in the Bible, at one time, they convinced a king, King Darius, to make a decree because they was hating on the man of God. And they knew that the only way they can get him in trouble with the law was to do it through something that involved him and his God. And so they came together and plotted against the man of God. And so when they came and boasting on King Darius, oh, King, live forever. Oh, King, you this and that. You this and that. And they begin to boost up his head. That's why we have to be careful when so many people start boosting. We call it, in our neck of the woods, we call it gassing you. When people start gassing your head, you know, helium make you begin to float up. And all it is still just hot air. And people do that. The question is why? Why everybody all of a sudden jumping on the bandwagon of lifting you up thing before now? Why now? We don't ask the question, why now? What have I done now to deserve this these accolades? You know, their adoration. So what have I done? We simply allow pride to step in. And your chest pops out and you begin to think more highly of yourself than you should. And he said, King, why don't you make a decree? Because under our laws and statute that if you decree anything, because the law of a king, I'm going somewhere with this. For those of you that don't know, I'm preaching already. The law of the king, the word of the king is law, is sovereign. So if you sign it into law, king, everyone must obey. And so, king, what we want to do is make for the next 30 days, for the next month, we don't want nobody to give any accolades and any petition to any god, any, and they weren't Christian. So they're pagan gods that they serve. They said nobody can even give the pagan god any accolades, give you praise. For a whole month, we're just going to lift your name up. And him being full of himself, thought, oh, okay, yeah. Man, that sounds good. The whole country talking my name. Now, you the king already. They're already talking your name. You the king. But you allow people who have hatred in their heart to thwart someone else. Manipulate your ego to do something that you had no idea of what they were trying to do. And so he signed it into law. The Bible said that Daniel, they had named him Belshazzar. And Daniel, after hearing and knowing that the letter was written, that the decree was made, he did what he had often done daily. He went back to his home, and with his window open, not closed, faced toward Jerusalem, prayed three times every day. Now, I want you to understand this that I'm about to say. Praying in the beginning got him out of trouble. But at this point in the book, praying got him in trouble. But I want you to understand that it was the prayers afterwards that delivered him not just through, but I want to use this analogy over the trouble. Because the trouble couldn't even go high enough or deep enough to really get him. And so they saw him praying because they knew he was a man of faith, consistency. He was a man of honor. He was righteous and devoted. So they marched back in there. Hey, King, did not you sign a law, this and that and the other? And full of, again, pride. Yes, I did. Well, you know that fellow that you anointed president, put him over the other one? Yeah. That one that you made over the land, governor, president. The one that you gave power to. He ain't studying you. He still prayed to his God three times every day. Broken now, because he sees. They say that hindsight is 20/20. In other words, you can see clearly after the fact. So now he can see that he was bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray by these men of their craftiness. To not get rid of somebody that was causing sedition or trouble. But when you read the text, you see that Daniel kept everything in order. Although that he was in bondage, Daniel made sure the taxes was being collected properly. Daniel made sure that the instructions of the king went out properly to those that he was in charge of. Because he had an excellent spirit. And so here it is. Now the king realizes, man, y'all just caused me my good help. My great help. Man, I just allowed y'all to use me to terminate my real help. Someone that I didn't have to go and check behind to see if they're stealing or skimming off the top. Someone I didn't have to worry about trying to build his own army. So the Bible says that the king in the lion's den. And some of y'all have heard the song. Daniel made a mattress. used the lions for a mattress and a pillow that night. Because he was put into a lion's den. But what those fellows did not understand was the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, Brother Charles, and all they that dwell therein, and lions dwell therein. And so thereby then creatures of nature being created with instinct, they had to follow the instinct of their creator. And so this day, their instinct to hunt or to pounce upon a prey or to dominate, this night, they was told, sit, be still. You can roar all you want to, but sit. Touch not my anointed. and do my prophet no harm. That applies to you all too, animals. And so the king this night, who was a pagan king, remembered that Daniel served the eternal God. And he began to cry to the God of creation. He fasted and prayed that somehow, some way, that Daniel would make it through this test. Because he had to be punished according to the law. And sometimes we as believers, we have to go through certain punishment because of violating a law. But this is what prayer can do. This man, a pagan man, prayed for the man of God not to be harmed. The Bible goes on and shares that early the following morning that the king ran to the den and cried out to Daniel and says, Daniel, has your God kept you? Oh, my Jesus. So when you got faith in God, I don't care what your circumstance, your situation is, he will keep you. Daniel hollered out, O king, live forever. My God has kept me. And because he endured the test, because he did not say anything wailing against those that came in and tried to condemn him, or condemned him, not try, they did. Because he didn't go after his enemy, because he didn't curse his enemy, Daniel was brought out of the den. And the Bible says that the king commanded, because these men did this, they were going to have to go through the same trial, but not them only, but their whole house. So their wives and children all were thrown into the den. So the lion says, you know, this is just a snack. There's too many of us in here. We ain't going to enjoy this anyway. But the following night, they had a buffet. Brother Charles, they had a buffet. They had all the meat that they wanted to eat and then some. It pays to wait on the Lord. Amen. Let me jump into my text. I don't know why I went that way this afternoon, but apparently somebody must have needed that analogy. Somebody needed to hear that trusting God no matter what. You don't hide your faith in God. You don't hide who you are in God. You open it up. That's true courage. Be who God calls you. If everybody else can come out the closet, then what about the believers? Amen. I want to renew that expectation in the kingdom by simply giving you the word of God today. Oftentimes, our fear and our faith is developed from what we are listening to. Our emotional status is predicated on what we're listening to. Here's my case in point: to a party. Because they asked you to go and you really didn't want to go. But the DJ all of a sudden put on your favorite tune. You didn't want to be there, but because you heard your jam, you said, oh, that's mine right there. And those of you that like to dance, you moved over to the dance floor, even though you had to dance all by yourself because it was your song. It did something to lift you up. It changed your attitude. Yeah, yeah. Young men that get in trouble today oftentimes find themselves listening to what's called gangster rap. Mm-hmm. They get into stuff that's talking about murder and death because they're trying to psych their mind up to that environment. When men try to win the favor and heart of women, they often put on some soft tunes, something that's sharing how much he love and care and admire and all of that concerning her. So what you're listening to can change your atmosphere. What you're listening to and how you're listening, how you're receiving it, can build or tear down. So the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. But what if your faith is being told to fear? You know, station identification for all of those in the world. For the past 2 years now, all of we have been told is COVID this and COVID that. COVID this and COVID that. And don't do this because of COVID. Don't do that because of COVID. And one of the biggest don't do's was don't go to church. A direct attack against the church. But the same people that are saying now don't go to church have lifted the ban on organized sports arena because they have been losing millions of dollars. And they have to pay them contracts that involve millions of dollars. So now they're not checking your card or anything. And you can pack out any stadium you want. In fact, they were just doing it here in this wonderful city. There's a college team, and the stadium for this particular college team is bigger than some pro stadiums. It holds about 100,000 people, and they were jammed packed homecoming game facing their rival. But don't go to church. Don't go to the place where you can get blessed. Don't go to the place where you can receive a word from the Lord. Don't go to the place when it is God that heals us. It is God that keeps us. It is God that delivers us. It is God the reason why we can do all that we can do. Period. Pandemic. Epidemic. Period. But I found the answer, Sister Ruth. I found the answer why some have stopped going to church. And it's in simple understanding of the difference between is, I-S, and the word was, W-A-S. For many people, God was this, and God was that, and the church was this and the church was that. Mm-hmm. But today, I want to remind us all that Psalm 27, the 27th division of Psalm, David writes here, for us, verse number 1, 27th division of Psalm. The Lord is my light, my illumination, and my salvation, my deliverer. See, the Lord is. The Lord is, not the Lord was. The Lord is. Now let's listen to all that David has to say.
I'm going to try to read through it and come back to it. But the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. He's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So believers, I know I said I was going to try to read through it, but that's a hard thing sometimes because you get excited. Because here it is, believers, whom, mean any individual, should you be afraid of? That goes to what, too? COVID-19 is what it is, but there have been diseases out here for the longest that's just as deadly, and some more so. Whom shall I be afraid? Check this out. He goes on to share when. That's a position in time. When the wicked. Uh-oh, the who? The what? When the wicked. Every demonic action against. Okay? When the wicked, even my enemies. So you got the wicked, you got the enemies, and my foe pun me to eat up my flesh, that to destroy my existence, to consume my life work, my identity, all of that. This is what he said. He said, when they tried to do that, they stumbled and failed. We saw there with King Darius and Brother Daniel. The enemy came up against him, but they stumbled, and the stumble caused them to fall ultimately. And guess what? The beauty of it was he didn't have to lift a finger because he allowed the Lord to fight his battle. Mm-hmm. So verse 2 again, when the wicked, even my enemy and my foes, plural, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and failed. Verse 3, though an host should encamp against me. A host, that's an army. That's a group of people. That's a battalion. That's an assassin squad. Though an host should come to encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you today, there's nothing for us to be afraid of. When you are walking with the Lord, when you are with God, when you know that the favor of God is with you. Glory to God. My heart shall not fear. Don't mean you're not cautious, but it sure means that you should not be afraid. Though war should rise against me. That's a serious thing now. We ain't talking about a battle. We're talking about a war. In this will I be confident. Okay, that word confident, this is how we are renewing our expectation. Because now it's talking about where your hope is. What you're not putting your hope in the devices of men or the ability of other people. But what you're going to put your confidence, your hope in, is in God. You're going to put your hope in him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or even think.
Verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that, the one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, let me remind some of us, thank God for the four corners of the church building. But I do remember reading in the New Testament that know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means our body is a vessel, it's a house for the presence of God. And if the presence of God be there, that's where I want to be. I want to be alive and in the presence, that's with the Holy Spirit, as he dwells in me. So this one thing I desire of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that to dwell in the knowledge and understanding of God, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. So when I'm going through stuff and I don't know what to do, I don't have to lose my mind. I don't have to be afraid, to be depressed and dismayed, but with confidence, because the Holy Spirit dwells in me, I can ask the Lord what to do. That's simple. See, Dollar, I don't have to go no deeper than that, because the Holy Spirit dwells in the life of the believer. When we come across things that we don't understand because we have sought him, kingdom of God, and all his righteousness, we can simply say, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I don't know what to do. What shall I do? Lord, this hurts. How shall I respond? Lord, I'm confused. What's next? Lord, I'm weak. How can I be strong? Lord, I fail. How can I get back up? Lord, I missed the mark. How can I hit it the next time? That's what it means, that you can inquire in his temple the answer that you need to succeed. For in the time of trouble, I ain't lost. For in the time, verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. I have a hiding place for trouble that tries to overtake me. God have a place where when the enemy comes out to seek out for me, to destroy me, right in their midst, he'll hide me where they can't get to me. It goes on to say, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. That's unmovable rock. When we say rock, Jesus spoke to Peter. Peter had a revelation, and Jesus said, upon this rock I shall build. And that rock was, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the rock that we're building on is the cornerstone, you know, the one that was rejected but now is the cornerstone that sets up the dimension and the angle and the level for the whole building to be built up on. So if you're going to build something in this world, you need the chief cornerstone, which is Christ, in order to build. He shall set me upon a rock. Something unmovable. That when the wind and the waves comes in, and as it washed back the sand and moved the sand around it, we're still standing. See, strong wind will come. Things will happen to us as born-again believers. We're going to have some days that are hard. But he said this, and now shall my head be lifted up, because I'm abiding in the word of God. I'm staying in his presence. I've inquired of him, and I'm waiting patiently on him to give me my answer. So I should lift up my head. That way I don't have to bow my head down like I'm just beat down and been trampled over. No, lift up your head. Be ye lifted up for the King of glory. That's a whole nother one. Don't preach that about it, because, boy, you're going to get started. Come on back to verse 6 right here. Amen. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies, around and about me. In other words, they was trying to beat you down. But because you relied on God and not yourself, God is now going to lift you up in their midst. So thank God for your haters around you, so they can see the strength of your God in the midst of their hatred. That's why you got to come tomorrow night and talk, so you hear about this love that we have to have. Amen. So verse 6 again, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies, round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. This tabernacle, we're talking about this vessel, you, the vessel. Yeah, it's wonderful to go to church and shout and dance and praise the Lord with the other believers and all of that. But in your home, in the privacy of your home, when you feel like you're by yourself, or when you are by yourself, you can still give God a sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice because sometimes you don't feel like praising. Sometimes you may not feel like rejoicing. But this sacrifice is one of joy. Why? Because it's not built on what you are able to do. It's built on the hope that he is more than able to carry you through. So you don't let the world steal your joy, believer. The joy that God has given us, the world didn't give it. Therefore, the world can't take it. So when you find yourself losing your joy every time somebody come around, that means the joy that you was operating in is theirs. And since it was theirs, they control it. Since it was theirs, they had the liberty to give it or to take it back. But if you have allowed God to give you joy, then since the world didn't give it, the world can't take it. And so you offer up God your joy. That means, thank you, Lord, for waking me this morning. Thank you for the activities of my life. Thank you that my name made the world. Thank you, Lord God. I got some bills that need to be done. Don't know how I'm going to pay them yet, but thank you, Lord God, that I'm here to see your hand move mightily. I'm here to see your favor upon my life. I'm here to listen how to manage that which I do have so that trouble won't have an easy path to my life. Therefore, will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices, plural, of joy. You did it one day. Okay, that was good for yesterday. Now you need to do it again. Okay, I did it this morning. Okay, this afternoon, do it again. I did it this afternoon. Okay, it's evening time. Now do it again. Give him the sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Don't you let this world steal your praise, your joy from serving God, from loving God. Yes, they have done a work against the believers and doing their very best to try to discourage us from going to church. Pastor Calhoun and myself, we didn't close those of church. No. We stayed right there with it during the pandemic. In the height of the pandemic, he and I would go to the church and I would do the recording on Zoom. And we was in the church and we would have service and we still had people to do the prayer, to do the scripture reading on our Zoom. We still had the choir, the praise team to sing on the Zoom. We still had church. And finally, about a month later or so, the people said, man, y'all there, we coming too. The men said, Brother Bonnie, you're the coordinator, we coming to worship with you. If you and Pastor can be there, we're coming too. And we just simply followed the guideline. We put on masks. We sanitized everything. We sanitized the sanctuary. We made it safe. Safer than what they do in your grocery stores with everybody touching anything and everything. But what is safety without God? The word says, except the Lord watch the city, the watchman watches in vain. I don't care what kind of mask you have, what kind of sanitizer you use. I don't care how many shots you have received and all the provision that you can make to not get it. Still possible to get it and die from it. So you put your hope in God that you're not going to die until it's your time to die. The Bible says, rejoiceful to the Lord is the death of his saints. Some of us, God is just anxiously waiting on us to finish our assignment here so he can bring us home to him because he loves us. You think about a parent that raised their children and that child turned 18 and go off to the military during times of war. That parent is anxiously waiting for that tour duty to be over with and that child to return home. Maybe a grown man now, maybe a grown woman, but still that's their child. And so regardless of what we are and where we are, God says we're still his children, and he's waiting anxiously for us to come home. So we have to do our assignment. Some of our assignments are longer than other assignments. But when we learn to accept the will of God, because his will is sovereign, that's why David said, teach me to number my days. When we was young, we act like we was invincible. We act like tomorrow was never going to come. But being past my 50s now, I'm understanding how close I am to that due date where I have to transition from this world to the next. And so while I'm here now, I pray that my house remain in order. And that which I haven't put in order, I pray that I have the courage to put in order and the knowledge on how to get it done. Now, that's me. I hope your prayer is similar, because I don't want to leave here and my work is not done. I don't want to have to get to heaven and have to give an account for the souls that I didn't reach, that I could have reached. I don't want to get to heaven and my hands is dripping with blood because I wouldn't tell the truth of God's word. Although we may make it in, as many of us going to lose a lot of rewards, eternal rewards. We have no idea of what they entail for eternity. But the things that God has in store for his people, we can't even imagine it yet. And I know we can't imagine it because the devil is not even allowed to tempt us with them. He can only tempt us with the things that are common, that are earthbound. That's it. He can only tempt us with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He can't even tempt us on the things of heaven, because those are not permitted to even be uttered. That means there's so much more God has to give us and has for us to in this existence we can't even understand. Now, you may be like me and got a big imagination, but no matter how big it is, it still can't imagine all that God has in store for us. Hey, the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Do you know Jesus? I ain't talking about just knowing his name. Many people know the name of Jesus. Many people know even the character of Jesus. But do you have a relationship with Jesus? There was the sons of Sceva that saw demons being cast out of people. And they tried to imitate what they saw others do. We're Judee by the name of so-and-so. As Paul preaching, come out. The Bible says that them demons that was in that man closed off of them and sent them running through the street naked. So it's not enough just to know his name. I often use this. God should be more, Christ should be more than your Savior. He needs to be your Lord. And I dare to go one more further. It's hard for him to be your Savior if he's not your Lord. Making him your Lord and Savior opens you up to receive his perfect will for your life. There's a permissible will, things that God would allow. But there's some things that God wants for you. And those things that he wants for you, he wants them for you because of his love towards you. Has nothing to do with what you've done. But it does have everything to do with how you are able to receive him. And when you are able to receive God openly, the sky is truly the limit to what he has in store for you. So today, if you're a sinner and you want to be a born-again Christian, you've heard the message of Jesus Christ time and time again. I admonish you, I encourage you to just say these words, Lord Jesus, am I a sinner? And I am in need of a Savior. I renounce all of my sins, those that I know and those that I do not know. And I ask you to forgive me for them. I ask you this day to come into my life and to come into my heart and save me. Deliver me from evil. Redeem me from the penalty of eternal death. That means separation from you. And give me the gift of life, eternal life, through the shedding of your blood, Jesus, for the remission of my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe you went to the grave for me. I believe you rose also for me. And I believe that you're in heaven today speaking on behalf of me. And I want to say thank you. I accept your free gift by giving you my sin. I'm indebted to you because it was a high price. I give you my life because you gave me yours. I love you today. And I thank you for loving me first. Now help me and teach me to understand what love is so that I can love right and be honorable in your sight. Today, my name has been written in your Lamb's Book of Life because you have accepted me and I have accepted you. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer and you meant it from your heart, that's all it takes. Day by day, moments by moment, the Holy Spirit will begin to teach you through the help of the fivefold ministry. God will teach you and develop you to be whom he called you to be from the beginning. For the gift and cause of God is without repentance. But before you even repented, God had a plan for your life. So there are some great things in store for you. The key here is the Lord is, not the Lord was. The Lord, your light and your salvation, and you're not fearing anyone. Because the Lord is your strength, and he's the life of your strength. And you shall not be afraid. Thank you today. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm going to play this last song by LaShawn Mitchell, and we're coming back to our bonus time, our fellowship time, where we're going to open up the mics and give you an opportunity to express something that you heard that encouraged you today. And we have the Bible challenge coming up. The question about what was the first scripture read, not by me, but by Sister Ruth in the very beginning. Amen. And other things. So take a drink of your coffee. Enjoy the track. We love you.
It's going in my direction. Thank you.
Lines are open now. God bless you. That was Rashawn Mitchell and Miss Robinson. Amen. Sharing with us the wind of God. Amen. Love the wording there. Thank you for the wind. Amen. Man, that's nothing like a good cool wind on a hot summer day. So thank you for the wind. Amen. W-I-N-D. Amen. But I'd like to thank God for the W-I-N. Amen. Those of us that at times it seemed like you were going to lose, but you W-I-N win. Amen. So we thank God for the win. Thank God for the victory. Thank God for blowing through in our situation. Amen and amen. All right, Brother Charles, and those of you, I put it back in you all's hand. God bless you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You just enjoyed a powerful message from Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Thank you for that, Pastor. And you're enjoying the 6 Lives Gospel Show. We're here every Sunday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Get your prayers when I'm leaving the house. The 6 Lives Gospel Show, we appreciate you. Hey, it's getting cold outside. Stay with 6 Lives Gospel. In the comfort of your home, you get your praise on without leaving the house. All right. So that was a great message, Pastor. We have Mama 6 Lives with us, and we have a host of others. So hello, hello, hello.
Well, hello. Good afternoon. Thank you. God bless you, Mama Sanford.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a very good lesson today.
Thank you so very much. That means a lot. That means more than what you know. Amen. That means a lot to me. Amen. Amen. Because I appreciate those that came before us. Y'all laid the foundation.
Amen.
And it's our job to keep building. And so, amen.
Yeah,
so thank you, Mother.
Doing a good job. Doing a great job, Pastor.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Mother, if you want to, you can give you a takeaway. If it's something particular that you liked about what I said, anything particularly stuck out to you, you're more than welcome to share it.
Okay.
Amen. And that goes to all of the listeners. Amen. At this time. Amen.
Well, again, like last week, I think it was too much to just take away one part. I mean, the whole thing was a good takeaway for me.
So, what? So I need to start giving y'all 15-minute messages.
No, Pastor.
No. It was a great message. It was a great message. But it's like going to a buffet. They got a nice spread. You can't just pick one thing that you enjoyed. You enjoyed everything. So I mean, everything you said. Resonated. You know?
Exactly.
Amen. I don't know. When I go to one of my buffets, you know, I love all the food that I put on my plate because I put it there. Amen. But this one particular buffet, I went exactly for the sushi. So when you ask me what my takeaway is, that's sushi. I went to get the sushi. Yeah, thank God for the fried fish. Thank God for the noodles. Thank God for the rice. All of that was good.
Yeah.
Thank God for the smothered mushrooms. All of that was good. But I went to get this sushi, and they had sushi that I enjoyed.
Right. Well, I like how you did the comparison of the four walls of the church and everything, and then how they want to complain about us not going to church, but yet they got sporting events, concerts, everything opening up. But where you're supposed to go for your salvation to feel better, the churches, they want to keep the locks on the doors and, you know, have the congregation not show up to the church. Well, the pastor has to eat just like, you know, the sports events people, you know. So it seems to me they're shutting them out, and that's not cool, you know. So it's good, you know, to have other platforms, you know, where you can still get your message across. But everybody looks at the pastor like the pastor has it all. The pastor's a human being. He's a man just like everybody else. And he's supposed to have just like the next, you know. So that's one thing that always bothered me. Like I said, the overall message, you know, perfect.
Man, it would be so lovely if the electric company said, oh, you're a pastor. We got your bill covered, you know. It'd been so nice if my mortgage coming and say, you know, here's your completed deed. You owe nothing else. You know, that those things would be so nice to have, you know. Then I wouldn't worry about, well, I ain't worrying, but it wouldn't make you wouldn't have to work so hard on the side trying to make things happen.
Amen.
Amen. It'd be different.
And I noticed you said we had a 216 on the line. Tony, would that be you? That 216? And she normally listens in. Okay, is that 216 still with us?
Uh-huh. That would be the other 216. That would be the princess herself.
Well, no, she's 404.
Not today.
Amen. Okay.
That's
well,
right. Not today. I'm not 404 today. That's it.
No. He said 404. I heard him.
I said I thought because when I know it. And so
now you got eyes.
I thought I saw.
Amen.
And why I said, I think I saw.
Okay. Well, maybe
hello,
with
princess. How you doing, beautiful?
Amen.
Emily. Emily, God bless you.
I'm amazing. How are you?
Doing
hi,
well,
princess.
Tom.
And you're a beautiful person. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Hope you all are doing well and thanking God for your blessings.
Amen.
I'm over here being good.
If everybody on this line will say hello to my beautiful mother, this is the end of the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello, beautiful mama.
Hi, mama. How you doing, sweetheart?
Hi, Emily.
Hello, Mom. How are you? Love you.
Hey.
Oh, that's a son that loves his mother. Amen.
We all love the mama.
That's right.
Thank you.
It'd be something wrong if he didn't.
Amen.
Mother
thank you.
Six, I was told to tell you hello. God bless you. My mom hopes you're doing well.
Oh, so tell her thank you, and God bless her.
Amen. Yeah, we hope your mom's doing good. Last I checked, how's her healing coming along, Emily? How's that healing coming along with your mom?
She is having a fit. She wants to come home, but they ain't ready. I don't think they're ready to release her from rehab yet.
Uh-huh.
She was told by her surgeon that did her surgery on her ankle that she's good to go, but they're just waiting for the doctor up there at the rehab center to release her from there, and she is having a total conniption fit. I can't lie. I kind of threw one the other day myself.
Well,
you know,
they
think it's time
sure.
they let her out of there and have her Thanksgiving with her daughter. Go
on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we want when they do release her, we want her to be strong, and we want her to be ready to be independent, because that's what she is. And so we don't want her to have to go back.
She's very independent, Pastor, but she's also very nail-headed.
So I'm glad they got her in a position where they're holding on to her to make sure. We've had people that they send home too early. And we don't want that to be the case with her. We're still praying that everything will heal well and her strength will return and she will gain great mobility. Because when you're by yourself and you're down and there's no one to pick you up, we know the Lord is with you, but you're going to need that strength to go ahead and stand all the way back up and know how to stand back up the right way without adding more injury or pain to your body. So whatever they must teach her and help her to do, we're hoping that all of that goes well. Amen. So that when she come home, she can just be Arnie at Arnie. I can't even say the word right. She can be fuss at the house. Yeah. Say that word for me, because it was almost like I was about to say the other word, and we ain't talking about that on this program.
Pastor Bonnet.
Yes, ma'am.
Is Mother Six still with us?
I believe so. I heard it just a moment ago.
Mother Six.
Well, I guess go ahead and see what you were going to say.
She might have stepped away, but she's still there.
All I'm going to say, Missionary Ken keeps up being bad. I'm going to send him up there to let her get him. Maybe Mama Six could put him in line so he'll quit being so bad.
Emily, you ain't much better.
I was trying to be nice and not comment on that, but Ken, I'm glad you stepped up and spoke for yourself.
But you know, that message was so fantastic, Pastor Bonnet. I think we're going to have to play it again.
Amen.
Yeah,
what's
but,
the God
my takeaway was when you were talking about how the lions in the lion den, they refused their snack, but they ate the buffet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, we used to have Afterglow in our church, and I remember we after the service, we went Afterglowing. Mike, Kenny? Yeah, and I bet Pastor Bonnet would like to be in an Afterglow in one of our old churches.
Hey,
it was
Kenny.
Fun.
Hey,
what
was that you said about Afterglow and fellowship and all that?
Well, we know that we're just using our regular Christian language, but technically, for the world, Pastor Bonnet, for the world, we got to define what that means. Afterglow or fellowship, what that really means. See, fellowship, really, what that means in worldly terms means we're going to go pig out at the restaurant after service.
Well,
if we're having afterglow, that means we're going to pig out at the church after service.
Yeah, and people sit through the pastor's sermon, and they couldn't wait till he's done, so they go chow, and I think that's wrong. Listen to the word of God first.
Well, I grew up in the Church of God, and Sundays for us literally was an all-day thing, because there were times where we had Sunday school, and we went down the street to the candy lady house and got us some candy. We knew not to get chewing gum because if we came back, the usher would make us spit out. Mother Anderson didn't play. You wasn't going to be chewing gum in the house of the Lord. And so we couldn't have gum, but we can get them candies and little snacks, and we'll enjoy those. And then the main part of the service would presume, and we would have church literally almost all day. And around lunchtime, a little after lunchtime, we would have supper together in the fellowship hall. They were different mothers of the church would bring certain dishes and everything. They had a full course meal for us, and we would eat and have service there. I mean, a fellowship there, and probably about 30 minutes may go by, and everybody reset, they clean up, and everything. Yeah. And then we would have foot washing service. These was normally during the communion. Communion was during the day. Foot washing service would take place. Then we would go into testimonial service. Then we would have the regular service. We had church. We would have church at times. It was times when we were still at church to 11, almost 12 o'clock at night, enjoying the Lord. Nowadays, they say that's too much. But if you went to a social gathering where you had games and all of this other stuff that you can interact with, as long as they were feeding you, you was there until you got tired. But we don't think that way about the church no more. And so I like the phrase the afterglow, because you got the glow afterwards. You know, the glow from the Word of God, and then you got the fellowship with other people. And so a lot of these people with your extended family for real, because you got to sit down and break bread with them, not just the regular communion. But we actually got that, was able to sit and talk to other people about what's going on in their lives, on their side of town, if we lived on different sides of the town. It was just fun. I mean, from a kid standpoint, the adults did what they did. We went out and played, you know, hide and seek and tag and everything else we could play out there and just enjoy it ourselves. And so those days, you know, I thank God for those days where the going to church was fun, even as a kid. It wasn't that the service wasn't boring. The worship service, we was interacting with it. The songs that were sung, we the kids, we were singing, you know. If we was in the back cutting up, all the kids came to the front row. Glory, hallelujah. Most of them meant I was about to get in some trouble at that point. Hey,
Praise
Brother Dalton.
Pastor, great message today. Great message. Brother Dalton.
Wow. All right.
I just hope you got to enjoy Pastor Bonnet's sermon. It was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. He's great. Nancy, get in here.
Wow, he's still Dalton. He's still Dalton, so we know COVID can't get him. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I haven't heard Dalton on the Friday show in a long time, though, but I'm glad to hear his voice.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
yeah,
Nancy's
you know,
good, too.
Yeah, hey, man, it's good to hear your voice. Wow.
Pastor Bonnet,
you know,
I got a
you know,
question for you.
1 minute, Em. 1 minute. What it was is Brother Dalton, we led him to the Lord on the Friday on the Talk with Missionary Wolfgang show.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
I remember that too, honey.
So, yeah, glad to hear his voice, him and Nancy.
Sure sounds wonderful.
Yeah, that's all right. That's good. God is good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The Lord is awesome. Amen.
Brother John.
Anyone remember the opening scripture by Sister Ruth today? Chapter and verse?
I do, but I'll wait and see if someone else has got it.
Well, I don't know.
I'll give you guys a hint. It was in a prophecy book of the Bible.
Well, that's a whole lot of them.
I'm trying to be nice.
Well, I could even, I'll narrow it down even more for you. It's between the front and back covers of your Bible.
You don't get it in the mouth.
Get this over with. It was Isaiah 58:1-7.
You go.
There you go. Amen.
You go, sweetheart. You go, princess.
Yeah. She said, that's too painful. Let's get it over with.
It's sure wonderful to hear her voice, too. She sounds wonderful.
Pastor Bonnet.
Yes.
I got a question for you.
I might have an answer.
Okay. You know how you were talking how it was back when you were growing up, how church used to be all the practically all day long and into the night?
Uh-huh.
What would the pastors done back when you and I were growing up if they would have ever caught us in the nursery where there was a window that faced out toward the sanctuary and they would have caught you back there picking out a pop and pizza, and then one of the seniors, like one of the mothers in the church, would have turned around and just to be funny, you held up a piece of pizza and mouthed them, "You want a piece?"
They wouldn't even, we wouldn't even have the opportunity, where I was from. All the kids was accounted for in the service when the service started. There wasn't no hanging out here, there. Nope, the service started. All the kids was accounted for in the sanctuary. So we wouldn't have got away with it. It just would not have happened.
I'll be honest with you about that situation. What it was, me and a real good friend of our family, I had broke my ankle. I couldn't sit in service because the service was packed out. The nursery and the church, there was three separate windows in the nursery where you could look out into the service.
Okay.
And see the service. They had a speaker up on the wall to where you could hear the word going on and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, God rest this mother's soul from the church. She turned around, she looked to see what was going on back there. And me and this friend of the families, to be funny,
yeah,
we had pizza and soda back there. And just to be bad, we held up a piece on a napkin and said, "You want a piece?"
Amen. Let me jump in here real quick. We want to send our condolences out to the victims that passed at the Astroworld concert 2 weeks ago. The artist Travis Scott had a concert, and 11 people died as a result because they rushed the stage, and 11 people got trampled, and over 300 people got hurt. So we just want to send our speedy recoveries for the 300 who's gotten hurt. Benjamin Crump and Al Sharpton are taking on those injuries. He's going to represent them. But we want to send our condolences from the 6 Eyes Radio Network to those 11 victims who lost their lives. The youngest was 9 years old. And two that went, and one got trampled. They said the father was holding his hand, and somehow he got separated in the crowd, and he was one ended up getting trampled. But his brother lived. You know, so we just want to send our condolences. You know, we're praying for strength and comfort at this difficult time. You know, I've been to a thousands of concerts, Pastor Bonnet, and you know, we came out unscathed. You know, but it's just something. When you're doing these concerts now, and this was standing room only. He had performed
the
whole week.
Wasn't that on the news too, hon?
Yes. He had performed all week in Texas, and they had actually gave him the key to the city, you know, and he was, you know, giving back, doing different things. And there's a game that the children play called Fortnite, and he's like the face of that game. You know, they got like little Travis Scott bucks, and you can get like little trinkets and stuff. And he also has an endorsement with McDonald's, you know. So he's doing a lot of good, but just unfortunate, you know, you have these concert goers, you have these concert goers, you know, that get too excited, and unfortunately that's what happened. So we just want to send our continued prayers, you know, to the families, you know, praying for strength and comfort for them at this difficult time.
Yeah. I think you mentioned Al Sharpton. I think last week, I think it was, he's under the weather. We've been having, I think it was Al Sharpton. I think they were saying he was having a few respiratory issues. Unrelated to COVID. It was
to
COVID.
Okay, we want to pray for him. Okay.
But if I'm not mistaken, that's one report that I heard early last week.
Okay. Well, I don't know why
somebody else was praying for him.
Okay. Well, I don't know why they put him and Benjamin Crump in the same sentence of representation of that tragedy that happened at Astroworld. So we want to say speedy recovery for Al Sharpton from the 6 Eyes Radio Network, because they definitely lumped them two together, you know, as they were going to be representing the situation. And we also want to pray for the Ahmaud Arbery trial, because that's going on right now. And I just hope that justice is served. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, that someone jogging ends up losing their life. I mean, it's not right. You know, a lot of people say, well, hey, you know, it's black on black crime, or, you know, because he was black. I don't care if he was yellow. I don't care if he was white. If the victim was white, and three black people hunting them down, I have the same outrage. So it's not about color with me. It's about being able to jog, you know. And you know, it wasn't even a person that they described.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Well, at the end of the day, the citizen right to arrest is not the citizen right to exercise prosecution or judgment. If you thought that this person was the person that had been stealing in your area, you had every right to ensure that the police was those who are licensed to uphold the peace and to carry out the law of the land to take him into custody, so that it can be either proven or disproven whether or not this person was the person. Because in this situation, he was completely innocent. He was simply a person, as they stated, was jogging in his very own community. And for him to, for them to exercise a vigilante attitude towards this individual, was unjust, and unfortunately for them, they're gonna have to pay the cost of their vigilante. They took their liberty beyond what the law allows, you know, they was not in no particular bodily harm. This individual was not previously on their particular location, property. So they didn't have the legal right to exercise any force. And so they violated. And so for that violation, they're going to have to pay whatsoever the law deemed necessary for their action.
Right.
And that's just the bottom line on it. And we pray for his family who have to endure that hardship. And we pray for them that they will have a forgiving heart, because it's hard to forgive those that cost the life of someone you love, whether it was on purpose or indirect. You know, this could have been a drunk driving accident. Still hard when people's actions cause the loss of life to those that you love and cherish. That's a hard thing.
I agree.
Regardless of color, because we're all human. And we want our loved ones to live. We want to live. So, and so we have to have the attitude of preservation of life, not just personal life, but life of all. And when we learn how to protect life, and maybe we'll learn how to respect other lives even better. And
amen.
That goes a long way, you know, whether you agree with me or don't agree with me. I have a right to my opinion. You have a right to yours. It's when those actions behind that begin to infringe on our civil liberty. That's when it becomes an issue. And that topic alone can go very deep and very long. It's ongoing in other circles. And so, you know, sometimes our best response is we're praying for the peace within this circumstance, because what this world do not, what this country, come back to our, just our country, we don't need any more riots or any more things separating blacks and whites. We don't
we definitely
enough,
don't.
There's enough troubled history that has stuck a wedge on the race side. And there's enough animosity, hatred. There's enough of it there. And we have to find that common ground. We have to find that common ground that allow us to appreciate each other for who we are and to respect boundaries. To respect them. You don't have to agree with them. I don't agree with the LGBTQ community, or if I say it right. If I say it wrong, my apologies. I don't agree with your philosophy at all. I believe you are violating God's rules and regulations. But at the end of the day, that's your choice. That's your right to choose as a free moral agent, as a free citizen. And you have the right to pursue a job, and you have a right to build a life. You have that right here in this country. And so you're welcome to it. But from a ministerial standpoint, we're talking about your eternal soul. So our comment to you is not about your current life. It's about the one to come. And it's not about hatred towards your actions that's contrary to our beliefs. We're sharing information with you so that you can make the conscious and informed decision to choose Christ over self. Period. That goes to
amen.
That goes to those that are molesters, rapists, whoremongers, liars, those that violate God's rule and regulation, period, regardless where you stand. Adulterers, fornicators, it covers all of us. And so we love you with the love of Christ. Just because God loves you, that don't get you in the gate. What's going to get you in the gate is the acceptance of his son. And if you accept his son, you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Failure to transform is failure to truly receive. And that can go on in another conversation. We'll stop there.
Amen. I also want to send condolences out to the Palmer family. Linda, you know, I have a daughter. And my little girl
has lost her aunt. So we want to send condolences to Linda Palmer. She lost her aunt, so we want to pray for the family. The daughter, Lisa, we want to pray for her and the rest of the family. And we're praying for strength and comfort at this difficult time. Now, a lot of people say, well, how can I have a daughter that's older than me? Don't ask me, ask Jesus. But we want to send condolences out to her. Praying for strength and comfort for my little girl.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Sister Ruth, we going to do the bloodhound yet?
Yes, sir. That's what I was just asking for. Sister Ruth, would you
what? They cut
give
him
us,
off? They cut him off. He didn't even get to finish speaking. Nancy.
It's okay, Dalton. It's all right.
Sorry,
it's all right.
Dalton, hon. It's okay. This is something we do each time.
We didn't mean to.
Pastor Bonnet's sermon was so good. Okay, this one, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. I would say that's a wonderful scripture. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. That'd be a sermon in itself, wouldn't it be, Pastor Bonnet? Because really, mm-hmm. when you think about it, look how much we should do love our neighbors. If we love our neighbors, we sure have a lot more peace in the world.
Amen.
Thou shalt not avenge thyself, or thou shalt not avenge thou. Read it one more time.
Sorry. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. In the Old and New Testament, but not in the map. Sorry.
I think that's one of those pepper traps. Because in the New Testament, there's a verse like that. But in the Old Testament, I think that might be Leviticus in the law.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Leviticus 19 and 18, maybe.
Yeah, and you're right. Of course, you preaching all that time. I guess you would know. But you do a beautiful job, and I really liked your sermon today.
Thank you so very much. I'll be trying to look this stuff up. I tell people, you know, you can search and you can find stuff if you want to know. That's why we don't have to walk in darkness. The answer for us is out there. We just need to look. Matthew 7:7 told us simple. Ask, seek, and knock. But you got to ask, you got to seek, and you keep on knocking. That means you haven't found it, just keep knocking. Your answer coming eventually.
All right. Now for next week, here we go.
Okay, this one you'll like, everybody, I think. But if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?
Ooh, one more time.
For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And you obviously know who said that.
Sure do. What's funny is, it's in my that's in my lesson for tomorrow night. So they can get the answer if they just listen tomorrow night. And when you read, I'm like, wait a minute, that's in my lesson.
You know, Pastor Bonnet, you and I do not converge. And I told Kenny this. I said, they're going to think that you and I do Bible study together, because the lessons that I came up with this morning about that, I had forgot it last night, and I normally do it the night before. This morning is when I had did Isaiah 58, 1 through 7. And I thought, well, why don't I do prophecy? And the Lord said, there you go. So you have been having fun hearing the Lord tell you the same thing I do, I guess.
We're obeying our daddy's lead. Amen.
Amen.
And when we obey our daddy's lead, we're operating in the spirit of unity. And and because he speaks in one voice, he know how to unify us, even when there's differences. So all I can say is thank you, Jesus, for being who you are. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because it worked. It comes out. I mean, I kid you not, the lesson for tomorrow and I'm not going to tell them where it's at. All I'm going to do is tell them it picks up from where we left off on last week. And it's on loving as God's people. Last week we were dealing with forgiving as God's people and the power of forgiveness. And so now we move to love. And to love as God's people. And you just read the text, one of the primary verses of the text you just read. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the Republicans the same? I guess we're gonna answer for some. What do he mean by Republican? Uh-oh. All right. This is not a message about Democrat or Republicans, but stay tuned.
And Pastor Bonnet, just to offshoot from what you're saying, I just want to invite folks on the Friday night show, because that's what we're also talking about in a more in-depth study. Is it was requested by Lila Onion, a series on love, and we're talking about between brethren and friends, friendship, caring, and hatred is what we're discussing.
Oh, wow.
About love, caring, friends, friendship, and hatred in the Bible.
All right. I need to make me a note of that. That's Friday. On the talk
we
just started that,
We just started that. This week is part two of the series, so you only missed the first lesson last week. This will be part two, started tonight, this Friday. We'll be still discussing love in the Bible. So, yeah, you're kind of offshooting with what we're doing. So that's pretty interesting that God has you going the same direction that we're going.
Amen. Well, we all are following Brother Six. We're on this platform with him. And it just seems right for God to operate in the spirit of unity. We talk about one body, one Lord, one baptism. We talk about that oneness. And here's the unique thing about it. Again, we may have different and points of views, but the topic and the direction that God is speaking in this on this platform are the same. And so that means there's a word, there's a message, there's an understanding that God is trying to give us. Amen. He give it to us first, then we give it to others. And so he's giving us an understanding. And so the better we understand, the better we can help others understand that same message. And that's just the uniqueness of God. And it's so amazing when he does this. He does it often, all the time. My brother and myself, we do prison ministry. We've been doing it for a decade and a half or more, and probably about two decades. And whenever we go in, we never discuss our topic. But whatever we discuss in the meetings that we have, they're always lined up together. God has a unique way of sharing our messages to reach the masses. And we, you know, anytime you deal with especially in a prison setting, you're dealing with a large crowd of people from different walks of life, for real. I mean, different faiths, different understanding, different ethnic groups, all of that. And so for us to come across and be able to touch everybody with something, it's just amazing. And that's another thing that we're hoping to restart, because the pandemic shut that part of the program down, something that they wanted. You know, even the inmates themselves wanted our group to continue to come, which was me and my brother, in that. So we believe in God that in the new year, a lot of things are going to open up. I tell you, I believe God to do a lot of things. I'm hoping and praying that He opened up opportunities for me to come up to Asheville, Bugler somewhere and minister there, and so that we can gather there in Ohio and meet you all.
You know, Pastor Bonnet, that's funny that you'd say that, because we had a big tent meeting here for the First Nazarene Church, and here you could be coming and doing that, and another big Holy Ghost crusade would happen. That'd be beautiful.
Amen. Well, we're going to pray and believe God to open up doors so that the word of God can continue to go forward. The power of God can still be demonstrated. These signs shall follow them that believe. And that means the power of God is real, and people need to see it. And people need to experience it so that that their faith is elevated the more. And the ministry of the cross can go throughout our nation. And so
Amen.
We just have to continue to trust God. Amen. Amen. So definitely the Lord open those doors up. Amen.
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 So okay, Mama, would you like to sing a beautiful song? Or are you going to wait till next Sunday?
I will wait.
All right. Mama's first song. Mama, first song that she sung at church, her first A selection was Walk Around Heaven.
Oh, that's beautiful, right. Darling. I bet she could do that again.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Next Sunday, Mama Six Eyes on the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Get your tickets
now.
You
heard that she after you.
Call
you heard that she after you.
Hey, she Kenny, said, Mark produced her album, too.
Amen. Give a call at 216-245-9657 to get your tickets. Mama Six Eyes sings Walk Around Heaven next Sunday on the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Oh, wow. You're kidding me.
Amen. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
He did it, Mama.
That would be cool.
That's all of him. That's all
Amen.
Him. The belt is in his closet. He moved it off his dresser because he knew you were coming by to get it. So he hid it in the closet.
Thank you, Pop.
Amen. Somebody's gonna sing. Somebody's gonna sing to me. Now, Pastor Bonnet, I tell you, somebody who I have never heard singing like this in my life. I mean, this singing is extraordinary.
Okay.
I mean, this you got to hear Tim Gruber sing. I mean, you got to hear it for yourself. Amen.
Well, hold on. Sister Ruth?
Yeah.
I trust your opinion. You don't have to answer with many words, but Dick said, I have to hear it. I just want to know, do I really?
I think you sing beautifully. So does, I'm sure Mama Six will be beautiful, won't you, Ken?
No, he's talking about Brother Tim.
Tim. Well, actually, Tim can sing, but
I thought she was doing what's called
I'm sorry
deflection.
To tell you
I
the honest
deflection.
Truth. He does a little bit off key, but he does have some rhythm.
Thank you.
A guy can preach better than he can sing. Put it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, what he's been doing on his show on Tuesdays. He's been taking different songs from, like, the,
uh-huh.
he's got this book about different songs, and it talks about the different writers of the different songs, and it talks about how they came up with the different songs. And then he'll sing
okay.
the song.
Okay. He
and
took a page
like
out,
one,
out,
he's like,
out,
what was
brother.
That one? He does Showers of Blessing or something?
Right, and, like, recently, one of the shows he did, he talked about P.B. Bliss. Now, Ruth, don't say nothing.
Okay, I'll try not to, but I know
okay,
about that.
I'm going
to
do a little trivia for everybody because we'll see. We'll know who was listening to that particular Tuesday show. What one unique thing about P.B. Bliss and It Is Well With My Soul, what is very unique about that, and especially with Ruth
well,
and where
let,
we
let
live?
Me tell you. Let me tell you, first thing, her resting place is at the cemetery in Ashtabula, and also she is non-sighted.
Yeah, wasn't it?
No, you're thinking of Fannie J. Crosby, but
oh,
P.B.
Oh, no, we're talking about P.B. Bliss. Okay, I got it wrong.
Okay, but P.B. Bliss, when he wrote It Is Well With My Soul, that song was on the train when it wrecked on the great train disaster of Ashtabula, and that's the song that they found on that train.
You know, to this day, they're still looking for parts of that train that fell all the way from the top of that that big train vessel
yeah.
and right into the Gulf. It's actually off
what
of Lake Avenue,
that?
And some people say they're still finding parts of that train.
Did they tear
wow.
the bridge down?
Yeah.
They redid it. They
yeah,
redid
they
the whole track.
It actually looks better now.
Yeah. They redid all of that trestle because the whole thing collapsed.
That guy, Charles Collins, is the one that was responsible for that. And after he died, they say his ghost is going around the cemetery. That's not true. I don't believe in that junk. But, you know, that is, well, no, I lived on Grove Drive. So, you know, I went up there all the time looking at the monument.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's
yeah.
the unique thing about me and Ruth. We live in the city where P.B. Bliss is laid to rest at the Chestnut Grove Cemetery, who wrote It Is Well With My Soul.
And we got a picture of Tim
now,
standing next to it when you visited us once.
Now, I'm glad you cleared that up because somebody told me it was a circus accident that happened.
No, that also did happen, too. So there was two different train. You got to understand, you're talking about two different train wrecks, okay?
Yeah, one was in the 1870s, I think.
Yeah, that was the Great Ashtabula train disaster.
Yeah, they call it the Ashtabula Horror.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the other one was more modern.
Okay, so is there any news articles about this?
I think Ashtabula Public Library. What if it's called the Great Ashtabula Tragedy Train Disaster?
Yeah, Ashtabula Train
disaster,
and they also call it the Ashtabula Horror because
okay.
it burned.
Ashtabula.
The whole thing burned up. It actually
okay.
caught fire.
Ken Wolfgang, I want you to do a show. I want you to do a
Let's
show on that,
do.
Ken. So get everything together, and we're going to have a show on that next Thursday. Amen.
Oh, I could get the book together for the library, sure.
Well, actually, this Thursday we got Brother Quick scheduled.
Disaster.
So I want to wait till I got everything together, Six. And then, yeah, I'm planning
yeah,
to schedule
I'll take
that.
I'll take some notes
cool.
on the book. I'm sure I could take notes on the book, honey.
All right. I want a show. All right.
So I'll get a bunch of research on it, y'all.
Amen.
Ashtabula disaster. Mahalo.
Ashtabula Medical Center is another place where they have a kiosk, and it actually plays what actually happened.
But you got to put the word train disaster in that Pastor Bonnet, Ashtabula, the great Ashtabula train disaster.
The Ashtabula horror. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's usually part of the book. It actually says the Ashtabula horror because it was so scary because everybody got burned up.
Wow.
Very few people lived. That's why they have such a big grave with a monument. They just put their bodies in there. That's what they said. They just put them in there. They didn't know who they were. That's sad.
Wow.
Yeah, we got pictures of it. I can get some detail on it because I know the book, it's out somewhere. I forget the author, but I could go in there. I need the Asheville train disaster, Asheville horror, please. They'll have it for me in about a minute, you know.
All right.
All right.
Well, once again, we want to thank you all for tuning in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. It has truly been a pleasure to have experienced and enjoyed the presence of the Lord with you on this wonderful day. We thank God for each of you in your respectful places. And as we say good evening or good night to those around the world, we want to say we love you too. God bless you. God keep you. Tune in to tomorrow night as we pick up on the next part, talking about love. Hey, God bless you.
Thank
we
you,
love
God.
You with the love of Christ. Amen and amen.
Mama, you have something to say?
I enjoyed the show.
Thank you so much, Mother.
Amen. All right. Well, everybody, have a rest of their afternoon. For the staff of the Six Eyes Radio Network, for Mama Six Eyes, our family, our friends, our fans around the world, you just enjoyed the Six Eyes Gospel Show. So take care. God bless. And tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, Pastor Kenneth Ronnie with Motivational Monday. And we want to thank
Mama,
the beautiful first lady.
Sing. Yeah, you go ahead and sing that.
We want to thank the beautiful First Lady for those great recipes that she's been giving us every Sunday. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And
hallelujah.
Hello, First Lady.
Hallelujah. I dare you to just give him the praise. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please go do it without fear. Don't do it without me. You got to settle for yourself. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Come on, help me say, Lord, what? Now say what you mean. If you want to be